What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night, June 22nd, 2026, and the Tan and J-Man Show is live with our 500th episode. We've been talking about it for a while. It's finally here, halfway to 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, you switching up the music threw me off a little bit there at the start.
I thought it was time. We've had the same interest music for... Oh man, 2, 3, 4
long
years.
Time, so yeah.
It was time.
But, agreed.
Man, it's yeah. I mean, I did a lot of going back and trying to research some things, and I got some fun things for us to reminisce and about and play. Unfortunately, my old laptop, I used to do a lot of our recording. Uh-huh. I fired it up today. It hadn't been fired up since early 2023. It's pretty much junk. So I got what I could off of it. Didn't get everything I wanted, but I did get some stuff. But yeah, that thing, I don't think it's ever going to be fired up again after today.
Yeah. Well, is it the same laptop? Well, no. Is this your third laptop since we've been doing this? Because your original one, I think it crapped out after like 6 months.
Yeah, I had that MacBook.
That's right.
No, it crapped out like in December.
Oh, like a month in?
Yeah. 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 This is my third laptop. Even this one's getting some age on it. I feel like I just got it, but I got it in 2023. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is 6 years old now. So,
you know, laptops are kind of like phones. I use them till I can't use them anymore. And then
agreed.
And then on to it. But before we get further into the episode and reminiscing about the good old days and listening to some funny audio bits and watching some funny bits. Do you have birdie or bogey for me?
I do. It's a Major League Baseball question.
Oh, great.
That's
about
fairly
to give
difficult.
Me a strike. Give me a bogey.
I'm going to give you a few hints along the way. But Kyle Schwarber hit 3 home runs in a game the other night, which is the 5th time in his career he's done that in a single game, which is tied for 2nd most ever. There are 3 guys that are tied for first with 6 3-homer games. Can you name 2 of those 3? I'm even going to give you the third guy, Johnny Mize. I don't think you get that one.
No.
So I'm going to give you that. Do you want a hint for one of the other guys?
Nah.
All right.
I should, but nah, that's a cop-out.
Yeah. The hint I was going to give you, I don't think it would have helped you anyway. But
great.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana, as well as Arlington Public House.
Yeah, let's see what both had on tap over the weekend. Giretti's Place, Thursday through Saturday, their special was an open face Bella. And they also had a hot honey chicken Sammy.
Yummy.
Of course, they had a loaded baked potato available every day, creamy chicken wild rice soup on Sunday, cactus chili on Friday, Thursday, creamy chicken wild rice on Thursday. Don't know where Sunday came from. Cactus chili on Friday, broccoli and cheddar on Saturday. Jalapeno poppers and broccoli cheddar bites were 2. Appetizers looks like they were pushing. But you could also level up your meal, swap your sides for some cheese curds, french fries, or sweet potato fries.
Yum. I'm starving.
You go wrong with a lot of that stuff. I know. I'm pretty hungry myself. Arlington Public House. Last weekend only, their prime rib sandwich special was back.
Ooh, sandwich. Prime rib sandwich.
Yeah, looked pretty good.
That comes
tender
with...
tender prime rib, caramelized onions, pickles, horseradish aioli, toasted roll.
I was just about to ask about horseradish. I can do without... I can handle grilled onions. The pickles, we talked about on the show. No, thank you. But dip it in a nice au jus. It sounds fantastic.
Yes, it does. Like we say every week, and we're not just saying it because they're paying us to say it. But you can't go wrong with anything at Dreddy's Place or Arlington Public House. Don't take our word for it. Just go check them out. Main Street, 701 Main Street, and 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. They're combined buildings, but you know, address slightly different since postage and all that. So, but, yeah, man, it was fun. over the last week, going back and trying to find some clips and everything. When you think about 500 episodes, what are some of your favorite moments?
There have been a handful of very, very funny moments. A lot of the funny moments really stand out to me because, I mean, we can have, you know, good episodes where, of course, none of our team – well, I guess my team won a championship right before we really started the show. Correct. So we haven't really been able to talk about championship team, although Purdue got to play in a national championship game on college basketball. Illinois made a Final Four, so those were fun moments to talk about. Cubs have been to the playoffs a handful of times. Broncos had a great season this year. I think it was the first year they'd made the playoffs since
we started
the show.
Yes. Well,
last year was, I guess, two years ago was.
It was funny because I got a clip, and I'll play it tonight, from our very first episode. And it was the day after the Broncos had a heartbreaking Sunday night loss to the Chiefs, which put them out of it for the division because it was late in October. Or late November. It was our first episode was November 28th.
Was that the one where their kicker hit off the upright and it bounced in?
Yep, a chip shot. He barely made it.
That propelled the Dolphins into the playoffs. That game, right there, because it was between.
So the Broncos lost that one. They lost a weird one to Tennessee in December. They did beat Oakland in a meaningless game, which ended up being Gary Kubiak's last game as the Broncos head coach. So it started off like we were starting off. The Broncos were defending champs. Cubs just won the World Series a month prior. But then we went a little while without our teams really doing anything of significance. But it's turned around over the years.
Yeah. Obviously, stuff that pops out, Brian Hooker being on the show a few times.
Oh, I got some polls from him on here tonight.
Of course, he liked to razz me about getting picked off a second by the catcher in a second.
That might be played tonight. That's a classic.
I mean, we had some good interviews. Garrett Weiniger has been on the show, who's now propelled his basketball career to, I think it's at Iowa United Prep.
Yeah, he was on when he was at Warren Central's head coach, not even at Fisher's yet.
One of the top young high school coaches in the country, really. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our good buddy Cameron Screen's been on a couple times. He's now, Bethel College's head coach, or Bethel University, I think it is now.
Yes.
We have had good old Rob Henry on the show, a former Purdue quarterback. He's been on the show. A bunch of guys.
Jason Sobel, premier golf writer. He was on thanks to our buddy Travis Watching, who's been one of our sponsors from the very beginning. Rochester baseball coach Corey Good has been the show. Good buddy of the show, Austin Faust, who is now the Culver High School football coach. He was the John Glenn High School football coach. He's been on the show
a couple times. He's been on.
We've had a lot of our friends on the show over the years. Evan Webb's filled in a good amount of time. Your dad's filled in. My dad's filled in. Jeff Ryan's been on the show once, I believe.
Connor
Thompson, Andrew and Isabella Eiler did an interview with us. I don't think Andrew's ever guest host.
I don't think so. I tried to get him a few years ago when you were out of town because I thought it'd be kind of cool because back when he was on the Boiler Breakdown to have Evan and Andrew on there. We've had Aaron Lynch on a couple times.
Aaron Lynch on. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember when Aaron before, I mean, it's funny also looking back how far we've advanced even with technology for the podcast. I mean, early on we were doing interviews via the phone, the mixer.
Yeah.
And Aaron would call in. We had him call in like in 2018 a couple times for the major championships.
That's right.
And now and then we started doing video 2018 with Google Hangouts, which isn't even a system anymore.
Yeah.
And then we
even during the pandemic when we were, doing the social distancing thing, I think I did the show via telephone and it was just you on the screen but my voice cuz we didn't have, I don't think we did through StreamYard then until I moved away.
I think we were using StreamYard because we were doing video with ISC Sports Network when we went in March of 2019. With them, but we were not, as you will see in a blooper I have, we were not very good with video at the start.
No, we weren't. Well, I do remember we had that little box there at the start
yes.
of ISC that just it worked what half the time.
Yeah,
we'd almost have to go down a half hour early to get it fired up just to yep. make sure it actually worked.
Yep.
But then we got different equipment and this has worked far better.
Yeah, I mean, we started in my parents' basement when I was still living with my parents. Then I moved to Wabash Avenue in Rochester, and we recorded my basement. And then you moved to Illinois, so I was still there. You were in Illinois, and we were doing this. Then I moved to Fort Wayne, and we've been doing this yeah. ever since. So,
yeah,
but here let's play a few clips and audio pieces. We'll start off with the audio pieces first, then we'll play some video clips. But I got some intros here that were funny.
Oh, I can imagine.
Let's start with a clip from the very first episode. Oh, it is gosh. Just for me, especially my voice, it is cringeworthy. But this is from November 28th, 2016.
Dang.
Make sure I got the volume up here. Okay.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to my first podcast here with my main man, Josh, the J-Man Mud.
J-Man.
What's going on, Josh?
Nothing.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. You? Good.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Except weekend didn't end the greatest last night for me.
No, it did not.
A little pretty rough. Got about 4 hours of sleep. Sports sucks sometimes.
I'm a Cubs fan. Until this year, sucked my whole life.
But now you got bragging rights over everybody.
No, I don't even get nervous over sporting events anymore. Because if I can live through the 7th inning or the 10th inning of game 7 of the World Series. I can live through anything.
That's a good point.
Do you still not get nervous during sporting events?
No. I get very nervous. That was bull crap what I just said. Maybe for a few weeks after that, yeah. But I was actually thinking today because I had some downtime at work, or not downtime, but I kind of daydream a little bit during work
sure.
sometimes. And I was thinking, you know, I think I was almost as nervous before the Elite Eight game this year than I was before Game 7 of the World Series because of just the stakes of it all. But sure. I don't get overly nervous before regular season games really sure. anymore.
That's
probably come with age anyway. Anyway. So, but yeah, that was rough. I don't even think our voices sound like that anymore, honestly. I mean,
yours sounds more like that than mine. I don't know what the heck that was. And we were using the snowball,
yes,
the Yeti snowball mic, and we were only using yeah. one because mine, that's awful.
I do remember from those first couple episodes, I would do this on my arm. Do you remember that? Like when I'd talk, I'd hit myself. It'd be like a nervous tick, and I just wouldn't stop doing it. And then you had to point it out, and I kind of got away from that. But
well, and our equipment has evolved over the years too. Because the first when we first had the first boom mics, they were easy to play with, but you could hear it.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. If you were doing anything like tapping your finger on the table or something, it would pick it up clear yep. as day.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's check out this 2017 intro for the Tanner J. Band
Show. Oh, gosh.
Starring former Rochester High School number one golfer Tanner T. Money Wiggle Lee and former mediocre Rochester High School first baseman Josh the J-Man Munt, this is the Tanner J. Man Show.
I forgot about that.
Gosh, one. I do. I remember recording those because, for one, we were losers that spent Friday yes. nights in your parents' basement
yes.
For a couple years. So we'd just be messing around with the
yep.
with the equipment. So I think that there was even one time I had a beer and I cracked it open into the mic, and that was part of an intro one time.
I think I got that one queued up next.
Oh, all right.
But man, that buzzing that I just heard.
I do remember the buzz.
2 years straight.
Yeah. There was probably something we could have done, like wrapped, probably. Like, I don't even know, like rubber bands around the mic.
Yeah, maybe probably. Stop it
from vibrating. But
yeah, this was an intro. Since February 2018. So
it's Monday night. Sit back, relax, and grab a beer. It's time for the Tan and J Man Show featuring Josh Munt and Tanner Lee.
That was a good one.
Yeah, we'd just sit there and just talk into the mic and hope we came up with something.
Yep. What else do I got? Oh, this was from, so we interviewed Brian Hooker twice.
Yeah.
2017, 2018. And I took this snippet from the 2018 interview. It's when he was talking about jersey numbers, because it always just popped me. I don't know. It just, the way he told it, I got a short, I think, 30-second clip here.
Yeah, I've always wondered this too. When it comes to jersey numbers, do the players get to select their jersey numbers, or is it kind of more of a size thing, or how does that work?
Yeah, you know, I try to you know, make it somewhat of a size thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I was a 58 in middle school. Do you have 58? Yes, we do. It's a triple XL. Okay, and you're 122. But I like it. I'm like, are you sure you really like this? Because 58's open. Yeah, I want 58.
That was section of that interview I've always remembered. Like, I could just see like a little guy like me in high school.
I
want 58.
I also remember during that, I mean, that was, what, 8 years after we graduated, he remembered my number. Like, he said, you were number 16, which I thought that was fascinating as well, because I'm sure there's been countless 16 since then. But they definitely didn't retire my jersey number, I tell you that much.
In this next audio clip, I stopped listening to it halfway because I wanted to be surprised, as do you. This was just titled Bloopers, and this was played on our 200th episode.
Oh, okay.
So let's get, I think it's got about 3 minutes worth of bloopers here. So let's take a listen.
Chief Redbeard is here along with co-host the Tan Man.
Chief Redbeard doesn't have a beard anymore. You're beardless.
Well, the chief is bringing her back.
Bringing the back?
Bringing the beard back.
How long is it going to take?
Yeah, about six months or so. Ryan Tannehill is 9-1.
Ryan Tannehill. Owned by my cousin Bryce Romine and his wife Katie Romine. You can find them almost every weekend at the Kosciuszko Farmers Market, Kosciuszko County Farmers Market.
I keep wanting to say the Kosciuszko County Zoo.
I want to say fair. The fair.
Why do I think zoo? Fair makes a lot more sense.
But they grow almost everything. I was over there the other night and he was planting some kale.
Nice.
Never had kale?
I stay away from all things green.
Yeah, we wouldn't be good clients with this, but I do like a few vegetables and, you know, carrots, corn,
chicken nuggets
potatoes.
Is not a vegetable, Tanner.
Yeah, I know. I really wish it was. I'd be like the healthiest guy in the world.
Bullpen at the time was an episode of freaking Barney. I mean, that's just bad. I don't know if the people on Barney, just, I was trying
Strong
to think of
Barney,
a,
man. I used enjoy it when I was like two or three.
I was trying to think of a good... comparison, but Barney was really bad. I was thinking, what was that clown?
Bozo the Clown.
Bozo, yeah, it was an episode of Bozo, not Barney.
Screw that guy, man. Nightmares.
I apologize for screwing that one up.
I have nightmares tonight now about Bozo. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Here's an interesting little game. You got the Rope Bowers, Minnesota. 3-0, traveling to Maryland.
You just said the Rope Bowers.
Boat rowers.
The Rope Bowers.
Boat rowers. Boat rowers of Minnesota travels to Maryland, who's coming off an awful loss to Temple. Maryland is a 3-point favorite.
Even the Terps. I think those rowboaters will not.
Boat rowers.
Rowboaters.
Army. What's their nickname?
I can see their mascot, Cougar.
Golden Knights.
Pretty close.
Before we get in the breakdown, some of the week two action and preview week three, we got a Monday night game to predict. Seattle at Chicago. Chicago's 4.5-point favorite.
Give me the Chicago Bears.
The Bears. I agree.
Crust pizza? No, thank you. I'm from Chicago. But it will be interesting to see how he handles some non-success.
Failure.
It's a Monday, guys.
So I love this show. It's Monday. We say dumb stuff.
See what happens when he starts handling non-success.
Non-success.
Good Lord.
Can we get that on a t-shirt, please?
Something John Gruden.
What is the winners for me?
Cincinnati Bengals. I think...
How'd you say that?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
There you go.
I'm not as good as you or Jameis at saying
that. Cincinnati Bengals.
The rowboater. I remember some of those happening live. I don't remember that one. I do remember the non-success one because it feels like it was more recent than it probably should have been. But I do remember after we'd give the noble gnome, I'd do the get your veggies.
Yep.
I got two more audio ones, even though they have a visual because they have a track. And then I got three more audio ones and three more video ones. And then we'll get into our regular scheduled program. But this is a fun one. I forgot about this. This was back after John Madden. John, geez. Joe Madden. I couldn't think of his name. Joe Madden, no longer the Cubs coach. You came out with your five picks of who you wanted to be Cubs managers.
I'm kind of scared.
Give me five or three, but in order, the candidates you want for the Cubs managerial job.
Sam Fold, number one. Okay. I said him. Yep. I would say David Ross, too.
Okay.
Mainly because I think he has the highest odds. And I think I've talked myself into it and think he can be a good fit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get that 2016 winning back. Number three, I would say Carlos Beltran. Number four, I'd go Mark Loretta. And number five, I'd go Raul Ibanez.
All right.
So I like getting former players in there that have gone through the rigors. And the one thing that's the most overrated thing for a manager candidate is experience. I mean, you look what Alex Cora did last year as a rookie manager winning the World Series. Aaron Boone took his team to the playoffs. Dave Roberts has never missed the playoffs. Rocco Baldelli this year in his first year with the Twins has won over 100 games. So. Mm.
Gosh, that was horrible. Just horrible. David Ross ended up being the guy, obviously, but those other four guys haven't become managers at all. Man, that's embarrassing. Sam Fold at least has like a high – I think he's in like the Phillies front office at least, but those other guys, I have no idea.
Yeah. That's we've said a lot of dumb things. So yes. That wasn't as bad as a lot of things I've said. This next clip, this was right before the pandemic, so it never came to fruition, but it was fun to relive and listen to this challenge I threw out to you. We were kind of talking before the podcast started.
Yeah.
And I want to issue you a challenge when it gets warmer.
As long as we don't tape it.
Yes, this is being videotaped. A game of 1-on-1 to 20 by twos and threes.
You're on.
You can pick where we play.
Where would we play? We'd play at your parents' house.
Probably, but
that's the only place I know that has a basketball. Could be at my grandparents'
house. That's a tough. That takes all day to score.
That rim is like that. It's like halfway.
And the backboard's literally as big as the state of Indiana.
Because our it is pretty big. Our good friend Nathan Sewell, 6'6", used to
dunk on it.
Dunk on it.
But you were talking some smack. You said
talking smack. Said you were talking.
Shoot me out of the building.
I could shoot you out of the building.
No chance.
Absolutely. I'd back you down. Do a little sky hook. Use my physicality to just render you unconscious. I'd just be throwing bows.
It's going to be interesting.
Knock you out.
Do a little jab step. I issued a challenge to my dad a while back. I want to tape that one, too, because he, my 58, soon to be 59-year-old dad, thinks he can beat me in one-on-one. I'm pretty sure I can beat him.
That jump shot never leaves.
He's got a great jump shot, but he can't run and jump.
Scored 13 points a game his senior year at Rochester.
I don't care what he did. Without three-point line.
Without the three-point line.
But he can't run, and I don't think there's three-point line. Then I don't know. See, I don't know. But
that was like 1946, wasn't it?
He's going to appreciate that comment. But So we're on. So when it gets warmer.
We're going to have to do a little video of me.
Going to have to do some pregame stretching so nobody pulls the muscle.
We're just going to have an ambulance right there just in case. I might have to fake an injury.
Kevin James on Grown-Ups.
Grown-Ups, yeah.
So, all right, we're
shoot
on.
Shoot you out of the gym.
Looking forward to it.
Not even close.
Well, we'll see.
I haven't shot a real basketball, I think, since that clip.
It's been a while for me, too. And I pulled my hamstring pretty good 2 weeks ago playing slow-pitch softball, so I'm not confident I wouldn't pull anything playing against
it. No, I'd have to have, like, EKG leads hooked up to me as I'm playing just to make sure.
And now my dad's 65 and I guarantee he's watching this thinking he can still beat me one-on-one. So
still beats you in golf. I'm sure he can do it in basketball.
He does. He beat me over the weekend, but it was Father's Day. I had to let him win.
Uh-huh.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Got one more audio one here, and then we got two actual video ones, and then we'll get one. And then this audio one, everybody knows it's coming, but it's too good not to play.
A story from when you were the baseball coach for the high school team.
I was.
Involving this guy sitting right across from me.
Okay.
Legend has it, in the sectional game his sophomore year, He got picked off second base when he was leading off by the catcher.
I remember it well. I remember it well. It was, I believe this was at Plymouth High School, Bill Nixon Field there, and we had inserted young Josh Munt into the lineup. I think you were probably DH that day.
I was DH.
He was DH. We had stuck him in there a few times his sophomore year, and he caught fire. And I mean, there were times where we just couldn't get him out of the lineup there. The sweet swinging lefty there. So we're playing CMA, and you got to second base somehow. I don't think it was a double. I don't know if you hit many doubles.
It was not a double.
Okay. So somehow, some way, you arrived at second base. So I'm over there coaching third, and you know, I don't know who was up or, you know, what out, but I, you know, the game's going on, a few pitches there, and I look, and Josh has got this like huge lead going at second base, and I'm like, you know, I think I might have thrown out a warning a little bit, like, hey, be easy back there on the lead there, because I was really thinking, well, they may have a pickoff attempt from the pitcher to the shortstop or second baseman. You know, that's a shorter throw, and usually you're more reliable pickoff situations at second base. So, you know, I think he gives me the okay sign, like, I've got you. I've got you covered, coach. No problem with my lead. And so CMA, you know, they're no dummies. They see this guy, and, you know, let's face it, you weren't built like a base stealer back then. And they're like, what's this guy doing dancing off second like that, getting this extra 7 feet out there? And so, you know, they probably have some kind of a pickoff deal. And so, anyway, they did, but it's from the catcher throwing all the way through to second base. And so, sure enough, they throw to the plate, to the batter. Catcher gets it and just guns down to second. And if my mind's right, it wasn't all that close.
It was not. I did not slide.
It was. Yeah, I think the guy caught and had to come out and tag.
Yep.
And so, but I will say this. He was a good catcher. This guy was a good catcher. There's no question about that. I don't think he was an Indiana kid. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But I think he started out playing at Michigan or Central Michigan maybe or something like that. And he I don't know what his career became. But, you know, just to get there on that campus, that shows he was pretty good there. But, you know, a safer lead would have been more advised there. I don't know if the sectional fever had gotten to you and you were ready to pounce, like maybe a dirt ball you were going to get down there or a score, but it deflated our inning a little bit right there. But you're not the only guy that's happened to. Usually, though, it's pitcher to second baseman or something like that.
I was going to say, is he the only guy who's got picked off at second by the catcher during your coaching career?
I believe so. I believe so.
There you go, Jeff. I want to ask you about a story from when you were
The thing that people don't like to bring up about that story is I hit a rocket into left field for an RBI single in that frame. The worst part is I think we ended up losing by one. So, yeah. And I'm pretty sure who was hitting. Oh, I don't remember. I think it was Brody Shane. I think he was up hitting, and he was obviously one of our better players. It was either Brody or – I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Brody. I'm like, I'm going to try to score from second on a single. You know, there's two outs in the inning. I need to get a big lead to get out there and score. And it backfired horrendously.
I like your thought, but yeah. That moment has led to one of the great moments of TNJ Metro history.
Yes, definitely.
But, you know, if we would have ever had Chad Thomas on, I'm sure he could have told an embarrassing story about my golf career. So this is one – I've sent you this about a month or two ago when it popped up on my Facebook memories. This is one of my favorite segments you ever came up with in TNJ Man Show history. You came up with a list of big words that you wanted to use throughout the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Longer than the duration of the game.
I think he was just making a nincompoop.
What did he do?
Some of these contracts have me bamboozled. they've got me flabbergasted, though. There's number three.
They're definitely not words you say every single day.
Yeah.
But
and I'm trying not to go all cattywampus on you guys. Now, will he be out there pulling shenanigans, kind of like he did? Props to the. Bigger conferences, but I think it's a bunch of malarkey. I'll tell you that much.
You know what kind of bread I hate? Pumpernickel.
Oh, whatever. I didn't think any of the rest would.
I'm not going to cause a big brouhaha.
Make any of the things. So
the second half discombobulated. They're kind of lollygagging around. Going Lewis, Northwestern, and skedaddle out of the Big Ten tournament.
I think my favorite part is the one you look at the camera.
Yeah.
And you like do a check mark in the air. Like,
yeah. I kind of ruined it though because I had to tell people because every time I'd say like the word, I'd start laughing. I'm like, I gotta tell people. So I stopped laughing here.
Yeah, that footage was not the best, but that's the footage that lives out there on Facebook still.
What,
so
what year was that? 18, 19?
18, I believe.
2018. Okay.
Yeah. 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 This next one's also from 2018. I came across this on our Facebook. Don't know why it was on our Facebook. We were trying to do an intro for episode 113. Take a look here.
Listening to the Tan and J-Man show, sponsored as always by Fraunfelter Dental Clinic, family-owned dental clinic with laser whitening. That was terrible.
Well, we got this on video.
I'm so hating that we have it on video.
Right?
Yes. Why does that voice come back to? You're listening to the Tan and J-Man show, sponsored as always by Fraunfelter Dental Clinic, a great family-owned dental clinic that offers laser whitening and dentistry, along with braces, implants, or typical teeth cleanings. Go see Dr. Bill or Dr. DJ today. I just said tooth cleanings. This is bad.
This is going to be fun for me to watch later on the video.
Man.
Ready?
Yep. You're listening to the Tan and J-Man show, sponsored as... Dog licking my palm. This is grody.
I'm going to delete this video right now and restart a different one.
You're listening...
that's how a lot of them would start for us before we got on ISC Sports Network.
That was actually episode 114, and we were still laughing. And
that's bad.
Now we're episode 500.
That's bad.
Oh man, but yeah,
those were fun.
That's all I got for
some
throwbacks. But there's many more out there. I would have had to dig and dig and dig to find them. So.
I can't think of many others besides the ones you shared at all.
Yeah.
Like, those were kind of our greatest hits, if you
there
will.
There was one, but I don't have, like, what caused us to crack up when we were recording with our good friend Cameron Screeton. And we were just busting up laughing. But I think I have that clip somewhere of us laughing, but I don't know what we were laughing about.
So, yeah.
Not as funny without context.
I know. I don't even know the context. All I know is we were just dying for some reason. I think we were like re-listening to something we were talking about, and it just made us laugh.
I think you're right. Oh, I got one more video one. I just saw it down here. This is a good one. I completely forgot about. This was when you had already moved to Illinois, but I was still living in Rochester. So, of the weekend, Saturday night, 7:30, ABC, top five matchup. Notre Dame, 17.5-point underdogs at the Horseshoe against Ohio State.
I think Ohio State covers. Give me Ohio State for 11, and I'll even say this. I'm going to say something stupid here. If Notre Dame finds a way to win, I will hop my neighbor's fence into their horse pasture, jump on a horse, and ride that thing around Lockport, Illinois.
You got to make me root for Notre Dame. and I will take off work and come videotape that if that happens. I'll be almost in tears thinking about that. But I made a book of prediction of the week.
Oh, shoot, I haven't. This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. As I said, if Ohio State loses, I will be stealing a horse. I've made a huge mistake already just even saying that. Ohio State wins. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Andy.
That was only 4 years ago.
I know. I completely forgot about that.
I did too.
I will be stealing a horse. But Notre Dame lost that game.
They did, luckily. It was closer than it probably should have.
The following year was really close at Notre Dame.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just want to thank everybody for listening and watching for the first 10 years. It's been a lot of fun, and it's amazing that we're on episode 500, halfway to 1,000.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
But yes, we should probably get going here.
Sports.
With the world. Yeah.
I think the biggest news today has been in the college basketball world, where national champion, defending national champ, winning head coach Dusty May has skedaddled on out of the college basketball to the world of the NBA to join the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, if I'm a Michigan fan, I think this is a bunch of malarkey. very surprising. Surprising at the timing of it.
The timing, I think, more so than him leaving.
Could have taken the job a month ago.
Yeah.
I wonder why he's doing it now. I guess, according to a lot of people out there, he's always had aspirations of coaching in the NBA. He's got a young roster, a promising roster in Dallas, of course, led by Cooper Flagg. But, man, you just won a national title at Michigan. You're at a school where, of course, you can have success. You just proved that. In 2 years, you've done really well there. But you're never going to be the top dog at Michigan. You're going to be play second fiddle to football. I would think that'd be a coach's dream. But maybe that's not what he wanted, obviously.
I think the state of college basketball had a lot to do with it. In fact, he was just on a podcast with Jeff Goodman a few days ago talking about it, how he kind of almost sounded noncommittal and how this isn't sustainable. And I think a lot of it had to do with – so he wins the national title, gets to be happy for an hour, and then the portal opens up, and he has to get right back to work to do it again. I just don't think it's sustainable at all. And Matt Norlander even – asked him after the game, do you think you'll be at Michigan in 3 years? And he said, no, the way college basketball is unsustainable. Now he has skirted the rules. He's a scummy.
I was going to say, he's part of the problem.
He's been the problem, honestly. And I'm glad he's out of the Big Ten for one. Yeah. But look at head coaches that have left college basketball to go to the NBA. Who's had success? Rick Pitino was terrible. Lon Kruger, I'll even go back to him when he left Illinois to go take the Atlanta Hawks job. Terrible. Billy Donovan, mediocre at best. Fred Hoiberg, horrible. Brad Stevens had some success, but he's much better
Quinn
suited
Snyder,
for the
Quinn Snyder, little success, but little, not,
yeah.
not a lot.
John Beilein, disaster.
Did Cal coach in the NBA at all?
I don't know. I was thinking about that today, but I don't know.
Why did I think he did for a little bit after UMass before Memphis? But I could be remember that.
I don't remember. Now, you see guys that have gone to the NBA and come back to college and had a lot of success, like Fred Hoiberg, like Rick Pitino, stuff like that. So maybe he's gone for, you know, a year or two, 3 years. College basketball changes. He comes back. Who knows? I know that's opened the door to IU fans thinking they're going to get him.
Sure.
Which I'd be the same.
But that means, like, they're not doing well under DeFreeze. I mean,
exactly. So things will have to go poorly and they won't like that either. And they'll be even further removed from their glory days. Should that be
Mike Woodson was an example of an NBA coach coming to college and not going so well.
Yeah. So
Isaiah Thomas,
I read a story today about Tom Izzo and how loyal he is, because back when they won the national title, he was making, I think it said $795,000 then. And the Atlanta Hawks offered him a 5-year deal worth $4 million a year, and he decided to stay at Michigan State. Good for him to do that. Like, I respect him for doing that because I love college basketball so much. Don't like him as, you know, going up against him, you know, once or twice a year.
Sure.
But respect him for doing that. And I just don't think we'll see that level of loyalty ever again in college basketball unless things change.
No, and you know, we harp on the players not being loyal, and
right,
but coaches aren't loyal either. Most aren't loyal either.
Absolutely.
And it's not so much I'm mad at the players, I'm mad at the rules letting them go to four different schools in 4 years.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, they're trying to get it where, you know, you get one free transfer and then you have to sit out. I know Ted Cruz in Texas is working on that, and hope maybe it'll get done. Who knows?
Right.
But there's got to be something. We've talked about it for 3 years now, and nothing's really happened. I think we're going to see more and more elite coaches kind of leave for the NBA. I mean, John Shire turned it down because it sounded like he was a really strong candidate for Mavericks job. But, I mean, I think you could argue Duke is the best basketball job in or is the best job in basketball. Right. Jobs in sports, probably. And he's an alum and all that, where Dusty didn't really have any ties to Michigan. No.
You know, it's funny this happened, though, because a couple months ago we were talking about, like, jobs that are worth taking in the NBA, mm-hmm. and, like, premier jobs. We didn't list Dallas, and no. yet he's leaving a national title program to go to the Mavericks.
Cooper Flagg would have to be the reason why he thought it'd be a really good yeah. spot. I'm not surprised at all he went to the NBA, because there was rumors all last year that he has his eyes set on the NBA. The NBA has his eyes set on them. The timing is what is surprising. Yep. I mean, you're late June. You have the draft in 4 days, and now college basketball rosters are pretty much set. So these Michigan guys that came, they're in the portal, and the guys that stuck around are now kind of just, you have to stay at Michigan at that point. I think they'll be a very good team. They promoted Mike Boynton to interim head coach now, but they say the interim track's probably going to be taken off here in the next couple yeah. of days or weeks. And he had middling success at Oklahoma State. He led them to the tourney 1 year. That was with Cade Cunningham, which that kind of helps. Sure. But he at least has, you know, power or high major college basketball experience, but he's not Dusty May. I mean, Dusty May nope. had a meteoric rise. He went from, you know, Florida Atlantic to the NBA in 27 months. That's
pretty
wild.
Crazy.
And I also saw something today. Who knows if Nick Boyd misses that layup at the buzzer against Memphis, where's Dusty May at now?
Yeah.
You know, in the round of 32 yeah. or no, that was first round, I think, wasn't it? So
yes, first round, or if
yeah, in the 8-9,
or
game.
If Purdue doesn't lose to FDU, and then they beat Florida Atlantic in second
yeah.
round.
Yeah,
he probably doesn't have the Michigan job.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have the Michigan job. He might have had a good job anyway.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, so it's just little things yep. that can propel a guy.
No, I'm no effect, sure. man. Yeah, it'll yep. be interesting to see what happens with Michigan. We'll see if they have any guys leave.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to have a window to transfer. And, yeah, can't think they're going to be a top contender for the conference now. So.
Yeah, I think if they're able to keep the roster intact, I think talent alone, they'll be, you know, considered one of the better teams in the Big Ten. But I think going from Dusty May to Mike Boynton is a significant downgrade.
Sure, as would be anybody.
I think sure, in the Big absolutely.
Ten, go from head coach to assistant coach.
Yeah, so. Definitely. But, yeah. The NBA draft is this Thursday.
Tomorrow.
It's Tuesday.
It's tomorrow.
When did this happen?
I saw on my phone it was tomorrow.
Tuesday? It's always been Thursday.
Yeah, I saw my phone. Like, oh, it's tomorrow? Really? Okay.
What in the world? I 100% believe you. I just got to see with my own two eyes that it's true. Because Tuesday?
That's what I saw is wrong.
No, I think you're right. Because I saw it earlier. Somebody said tomorrow. I'm like, eh, no way. NBA draft. 2026. Tuesday. It is Tuesday and Wednesday. What has happened?
Tuesday.
Well, Taco Tuesday. What has happened to this world that it's not on Thursday, Friday? Tuesday, Wednesday. Good Lord. Anyway, the NBA draft is held tomorrow, evidently. I think there's a very clear top four.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Cam Boozer, you have DeBonsa from BYU, you have Peterson, and you have Caleb Wilson. After that, it kind of gets a little murky.
Sure.
Who do you think goes number one? I've seen zero leaks when it comes to...
I haven't looked at anything. I haven't looked at mocks.
Really
I haven't
either,
looked
honestly.
At nothing. I think Peterson goes one. I think it's a mistake, but...
I think it'd be a mistake. I think Cam Boozer, pound for pound, is the best player in the draft. He does everything well. I think his ceiling's a little lower, but his floor is so much higher than a Peterson or even DiBonsa, because DiBonsa doesn't shoot that well.
Right.
He's just an absolute beast. And there's obviously Caleb Williams, I think, is the fourth guy there. Maybe he falls down. We have a surprise in the top four.
Wilson.
Yeah, Caleb Wilson from North Carolina.
He's a Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Yep, Chicago Bears.
Hey, he can do it all.
Pizza? No, thank you. I'm from Chicago. but anyway, this will be the J-Man's Book It prediction of the week. Keaton Wagler will probably go in the top 10, I'd imagine. I mean, he's been projected there. I'm going to go one step further. I think he goes in the top 5. So I think he'll be the first Illinois player to go in the top 5 since Darren Williams. I think I'm probably going to be wrong, although I know the Clippers really like him and they pick 5th. That could be smokescreen. He only worked out for the Bulls, who picked 4th. Clippers, who Bulls pick 4th and 14th. Clippers pick 5th. I think the Clippers pick 5th. Anyway, I think Keaton goes 5th.
No, it's not the Pacers.
And he'll Keaton will probably go out of the lottery. He'll probably fall to 18th or something like that. But anyway, J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't have a lot of interest in the NBA draft. So
no, Keaton's the only guy. I know Boswell has gotten some second-round buzz, but I couldn't care less about the second round. Honestly,
yeah, the second round will have my attention just for Braden Smith, but
right,
even then, I probably won't watch it.
No, I might tune in early on just to see where Keaton could go, but yeah, it's not appointment viewing for me like the NFL draft is. Even NFL draft anymore, I watch the first round, but I don't really watch the rest of it anymore,
right.
But same with the Baseball. I follow the Major League Baseball draft, I think, more than I do the
you've always loved your prospects. NFL.
I do. Yeah.
Well, I got a fun blind rankings for you this week. So it's podcast related.
All right.
So say somebody came up to you. Say it was the IC Sports Network. Came up to you and like, J-Man, you're going to keep the Tan J-Man show, but we're offering you six figures. Six-figure salary.
Okay.
But you have to have a different co-host. Can't be Tanner. Tanner's good, but he's not what we're looking for. We're looking for you and a different co-host. So you got your choice of these guys to be your co-host. And you can name the show whatever
you
want.
I like this one, yeah.
So got five different people. Blind rank, of course. Starting with Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, man.
And we're going for this one. This is an everyday show. Since you're making six figures every day.
Every day.
Live every day.
I better be making seven figures if I'm working with Stephen A.
That's fair. Well, I think you can say that for a lot of these guys, but
I don't like being yelled at. And I don't think he says anything worthwhile. I think we're much smarter when we talk about sports than Stephen A. Smith is. So I'm gonna put him at 5th.
How about Jeff Ireland?
Oh man, he'd probably ask me some bad questions about people's mothers because that's what he did to Dez Bryant. I hated that guy.
I know you did. That's why he's on this list.
I'm putting him 4th. I can't stand him.
Timmy Beckman.
Timmy.
I mean, he probably wouldn't accept it because he doesn't like you. But
hashtag Fire Beckman Show is what that would be called. Honestly, he just seemed like such a moron. I think it'd be entertaining podcast stuff. So I'm going to put him at 2. In fact, I read a story about him. I think it was last year, what he's doing now. He is a scout/grader for Pro Football Focus, for PFF. So that's what he does.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Skip Bayless.
Skip. I like Skip slightly more than Stephen A. Because I think Skip knows the game a lot better than Stephen A does. I'm going to put him 3rd, though, because he's a miserable human being.
That's fair. So what number do you got left?
1.
He got 1.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sign me up to listen to this right now. Jed Hoyer.
Oh boy, he's an easy number one. He's a smart, well-spoken guy. He's kind of on my crap list right now.
I was gonna say you want to rip his head off right now. What are you talking about?
I do right now, but that could make good TV. I mean, or good podcast. I mean, you see what John Boy's doing? He's a diehard Yankee fan, and they get Aaron Boone on the podcast every single week, and he doesn't hold back. He's like, why is Volpe still starting at short? Why isn't – I forget the other guy's name – starting at short? And Boone clearly gets upset at some of these questions. But he does what I think a lot of people would like to do, but at the same time they'd never do because they're too big of cowards to do it. And I respect John Boy for doing it. I would never do it because I'm too big of a coward. But
well, and Aaron keeps coming back on. I mean, he could always just not do it. I mean, I don't know what the contract says, but
yeah, I'm sure they have some sort of legal binding thing, but it's made for like last year they were kind of going through the motions late and just not looking very good, and John Boy's like, it doesn't look like you guys give a crap. And it's kind of fun to hear. And of course, Boone goes on and gives excuses and say that's just absolute bullcrap that you would even think that, because clearly we care. But it's fascinating to watch some clips when you can very clearly tell Boone is heated. Some of the questions, but
sure. And I did not put this guy on the list since I've already done five, but I had Dan Dockage and scribbled him out.
Oh man. Dockage is a radio podcast pro, so he'd be good at it. I don't like the guy at all. Yeah. I don't believe in anything he believes in.
He'd probably corner you into some stuff, bully you a little bit.
Yeah. I used to like him honestly a lot when he'd do like college basketball games. That's been, 5 years now that he's been doing that, since he's done that. But
Yep.
Good list. I like that one.
Yeah, just came to my head today that I'm like, I want to do this, but now I got to come up with five names. So.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think of people you don't really like.
Yeah.
Or have been on your crap list.
But. I'm trying to think of some other names that you could have thrown.
Like, I couldn't really. I know you've been frustrated with Illinois basketball coaches over the years, but there was no one. Like, I think you would do one with Bruce Weber and John Gross.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's none that I'd like absolutely despised. Yeah, absolutely. Both guys seem like pretty good guys and would be easy to talk to. So
So and even Cubs managers, like, no, I'm sure I could have dug deep and found one. But.
Dale Swaim, Mike Quadi, those guys I didn't like very much.
Yeah, but,
for the most part, I liked them.
I don't think they'd be very fun to talk to either.
No, I agree.
Yep. But that is the Blind Ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting 2026 or 2027, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And I want to thank Barbara and Performer for being a sponsor of the show for the last number of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've been on, I think, a long time now.
Yeah, three or 4 years
at least. Yeah.
So and we've had a lot of. And one day I will go back and listen and mark them all down. But there's too many. I would miss them. I'd miss some. I think we've had a lot of good sponsors over the years.
So. Definitely.
But the U.S. Open golf happened over the weekend. Golf's toughest test. Wyndham Clark is now a 2-time U.S. Open winner. He won back at L.A. Country Club in 2023. Now he won this one at Shinnecock. But he led wire to wire, which is pretty rare to do in a major, let alone the U.S. Open. I don't care for the guy, even though he's a big Colorado sports guy because he's from Colorado. So he's a big Avalanche fan, big Bronco fan. I don't care for the guy. Never really liked his tactics. Didn't like him demolishing and destroying a locker at Oakmont last year for the U.S. Open, to which he had apologized and do a few things to get back in good graces of the USGA. But it was pretty impressive with how he handled the negative reactions from the crowd yesterday, cheering when he was missing the green, booing when he was doing good things, cheering hard for Scottie Scheffler, who just couldn't make a putt yesterday, cheering hard for Sam Burns, who was a couple groups in front of him, who almost came back from seven shots down to force a playoff, which would have tied Arnold Palmer in 1960 at Cherry Creek, where Wyndham's a member at, out in Colorado, for the biggest deficit coming from behind in the major championship. But in the end, he held off everybody by one stroke, Sam Burns by one stroke. And I don't like the guy, but credit to where credit's due. He made some tough shots down the stretch, some clutch shots, some very clutch putts. And kind of shut the crowd up.
Yeah, the crowd hated him. They did not want him to win. And they even had to, I think, eject some fans too.
It was getting over the line. I mean,
it was almost Ryder Cup like.
I looked at my wife and I'm like, I don't like this guy, Wyndham Clark, but this feels wrong. Yeah. Like this feels wrong there when they're booing him when he's doing good things and cheering when his ball rolls off the green. Like, it just felt kind of dirty.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it, but I did kept checking the leaderboard and all that, and it got tight. I think he only had a one stroke lead at one point on yesterday.
Yep.
So
Sam Burns made a run. Tom Kim made a little run. Nobody else really pushed. But he went into yesterday with a pretty big lead, and it got tight, like you said. And then,
well, you sent to our group on Saturday, I think you said, like, this U.S. Open's, like, boring.
He was blowing everybody away.
Like, yeah, like, I went and checked, and he's, like, he's minus seven, and the next guy's right at even, I think.
He shot 6-under on Thursday. I mean, and then he just, you know.
That, tough conditions, too. Thursday was brutal.
And then, your J-Man's book of prediction, or curse, is definitely real.
Oh, for sure.
Bryson's over three, making them cut in the major this year. So.
I love it. I can't stand Bryson.
He's struggling. He's sewing his own head right now. It's not even funny.
Well, probably the live stuff going on.
Probably not helping him.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we got one more sponsor segment to do before we wrap this up, and that's the On This Day.
I have it pulled up here, so I'll give it to you here real quick. On this day, I did have it pulled up. There it is. On this day in 1814, first match at current Lord's Cricket Ground, MCC versus Herefordshire. That's a good one. on this day in 1930, Yankees first baseman Lou Gehrig smashed three homers.
Iron Horse.
Yeah. On this day in, it's not great ones in the middle of June.
Nah.
1958, a game in Kansas City between the Athletics and the Red Sox was delayed 29 minutes due to a tornado.
Only 29 minutes?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, only 29 minutes. Wow. On this day in 1961, Chicago Cubs shortstop slash first baseman Ernie Banks ended his 717 consecutive games played streak.
Wow.
On this day, not even, I mean, that's like a third of what Ripken got to.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
1981, John McEnroe's famous "You cannot be serious" rant happened.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great player, but if he doesn't do that, he's not as famous as he is today.
45 years ago today. 1982, Pete Rose moved past Hank Aaron into second place all time in the hits. So, man, we got 1 minute
left.
Put
him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's a scumbag, too, just like Dusty May. Who won the U.S. Open in 2009?
2009 was Lucas Glover.
It was, over Ricky Barnes, David Duvall, and Phil Mickelson.
I know. Two of my all-time favorites in there. Yeah.
That is going to do it for On This Day.
And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with attention. Their focus is on system strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your digital, you and your business with your digital marketing. Trying to read too fast.
The best thing about all those video clips you did is that spared me from having to talk baseball this week. So I appreciate it.
It did. You're welcome. But as always, next week.
That leads me to birdie bogey this week. As I said, Kyle Schwarber had his fifth career three-homer game, which is second most ever, tied for second most ever. There are three guys tied for first most three-homer games. One of them was Johnny Mize. I don't think you'd get that one. Can you name the other two?
And this is all time, not active.
All time. Yep, all time. So if you want a hint, I will give you a slight hint.
Sure.
One guy is active.
Ooh. Ooh. That doesn't help me.
I know. I wouldn't.
Man, I'm probably three homer games. It's probably not this guy. I'm going to go King Griffey Jr.
Incorrect.
I'm trying to get the non-active guy. It's not. I'm going to guess him. It's probably not. Bonds?
Nope. Obviously, that's a very good guess, though.
Yeah, but I was afraid it was him. And then
one of the non-active guys was in that era and was a steroid guy.
Sosa.
It was Sosa.
Yeah, I should have known that.
Any guesses on the active player? It surprised me when I saw it.
No, give it to me. I'm blanking.
Mookie Betts.
I could have guessed 15 guys, and he wouldn't have been one of them.
Six career, three
of them. Oh, boy. We're well over par now. I'm like,
no,
over par now?
No, you're only one over par.
One over par? Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. I hope everyone had a Great Father's Day. Special shout out to you as you and your wife announced you were pregnant over the weekend.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you.
Appreciate it.
And Stephanie. And we will be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a great week, everybody.